Whenever you're ready.
Okay. Lauren, I got a question from you.
Okay.
What is round, comes in pairs, and is exciting to look at?
I don't know. What?
100. This is our 100th episode.
It's oh, my 100. God.
I was hoping you were going to think I was talking about boobs, and I was going to be like, ew, you're so filthy. But no, you're a very clean girl today.
Yeah, honestly, I'm still waking up.
I can tell.
So,
welcome everybody back to Simply Amazing, the Nightcrawler podcast that has currently been going for over 100 episodes already. Can you guys believe this? We have been talking about Nightcrawler for 100 plus episodes because we do have our little side episodes we've done. So 100
yes!
episodes.
You guys thought we couldn't,
y'all thought we couldn't do it. Y'all thought we'd run out of things to say, but guess what? We still got stuff to say and we haven't even covered half of it, even a quarter of it. So
no, not even, yeah, we haven't touched a fifth, a sixth of it. We haven't done shit. There's always so much to say, and that's one of the best things about Nightcrawler and everything connected to him is you never run out of things to talk about.
That is true. And I am the OG Nocturne, aka Lisa. I am currently recording from my parents' house where I'm visiting, and my two toddler nieces are also here and they love me, and anytime I lock myself behind a door they come and knock on that door, so you might hear some background noise. I'm hoping not. I heard my mother trying to corral them downstairs, but for now we're just gonna keep going with it. I'm Lisa, and of course I'm joined by the ever so phenomenally like pride bi right there. I see you with your hat, girl.
Yeah, it's my bi hat. I got this from Etsy like years ago.
Is it a hat and a shirt? Because it's bi?
It's just a hat. It's just a hat. But both is the answer. So, I mean, listen, if you can dream it, it can be anything. But I think your nieces are trying to be Kurt, because imagine if they could teleport into your room, even if you locked the door, then it'd be really over for you. And that'd be really funny.
Oh my God. Cute little story about my nieces. Yesterday, my niece Emerson, who's 4 years old, comes down to me and she goes, "Aunt Lisa, you got big boobies. I've got little boobies." And then she walked away. And it was like,
amazing.
You know, listen, girl, I mean, you're right. It just wasn't an observation I needed to make or anyone needed to make. But you know what? You are correct. But yeah, they're adorable and I love them, but they're very loud and hopefully are not going to be interrupting us here. But we are here to talk about some really exciting stuff because it's so crazy because me and Lauren have been thinking about this 100th episode and what we're going to do for it. And then they make this announcement this week that's like, okay, well, we have to talk about that. So
yeah, we're like, We have to throw almost everything away now because we have to have room to talk about the fact that this huge thing is happening. And also, we manifested it. I mean, can you believe that? Again? Another one?
We 100% manifested this because we literally dedicated an entire episode to Gail Simone. And
we did.
And she has had nothing to do with Nightcrawler at the time. And now she is going to be writing our boy. I can't be more excited. I'm so excited.
I am so fucking pumped. And again, it's, you know, last episode, I think we talked about that Uncanny X-Men or that X-Men team coming up, which we now know is the Uncanny X-Men with Rogue and Gambit and Kurt and Logan. And the fact that Gail Simone's writing that whole thing together, you know, Mystique and Destiny are showing up for sure now. For fucking sure. It's going to be a banger, guys.
There's no way they're not showing up at this point. And there's also, I feel like it's going to be really hard to...
Gail, don't do this to us, please. I'm begging you.
Okay, so here's the thing. Every time Kurt ends up in a flagship book, it doesn't always go well. Because he tends to become wallpaper a lot when it comes to the flagships. And I don't know, the last time that I can remember him being in a flagship, I don't even know if it really was considered the flagship. It was like weird during the Chuck Austin years where it was like Astonishing was kind of the flagship, but like also was writing Uncanny, and like that has been historically the flagship. So, but yeah, like every time he's in a flagship, he tends to kind of be wallpaper because they focus on everybody else. But the dynamic of this team is so Kurt-centric that I feel like it would be weird of him not to have a center role. Now, we know Rogue obviously is going to have a center role.
And listen, I need to catch you up on Gail's Twitter because you're sharing these valid concerns with Kurt. And I just pulled up her Twitter again because I know I missed stuff after this announcement. People were asking her all these questions about the characters in the book and things like that. And she was replying to them. And somebody asked on Twitter, Nathan Maloney asked, Gail, how sexy do you write Kurt, a concerned citizen? And Gail Simone went, it's Nightcrawler. The sexy writes itself. I mean, come on!
Gail, come over. Gail, I've got a room for you. Like, you are one of us, Gail. Welcome to Simply Amazing.
Seriously, Gail, we're one of us. We're ready to bring you on. I mean, we've been ready, but we're extra ready now.
Oh my God. No, here's the thing. We've been ready to bring you on, but now you're ready to come on. That's the truth.
Yeah, it's true. Like, and something about the X-Men being potatoes and making X-Men potato names. I mean, who doesn't want to talk about that? I want to talk about that.
Wait, they made X-Men potato names?
On Gail Simone's Twitter, people started doing it, and she started retweeting them.
So what's Kurt's potato name?
I don't think I found that one yet, or if I have, I passed it. I got it. Listen, I have to audit all this stuff, and I'll bring it to our next episode, because she's off. I mean, I'm only, like, 2 hours into her Twitter, apparently. Okay, now I'm 10 hours into it from, like, recording this. So we've got a lot of great stuff. I did hear the other night, somebody mentioned to me that they saw that Gail tweeted that Nightcrawler was her like favorite or the most fun character to write. Most fun X-Men. So again, I think we're in good hands as long as editorial doesn't fuck up the story and the way she's writing the characters too much. At that point, I would definitely blame editorial until I was told otherwise.
So this is one of those things that like could be so freaking amazing for Nightcrawler. So like, here's the thing, all you guys out there who are big Deadpool fans and like rah rah men, I love Deadpool, bleh. Well, you understand that Gail Simone is like one of the writers who actually like cemented who Deadpool is and brought Deadpool into the 21st century, because he was really just like a 90s bruiser character for a long time, for a while. And then she didn't originally write all of his wisecracking, but she really did define the character quite a bit in the 2000s. So if she can do to Nightcrawler what she did with Deadpool, oh my God.
Listen, she's going to be at the Uncanny Experience this year. Lisa, we got to find a way to go this time. Damn it.
Oh my God. Where is it? Oh, is it in the same place? Is it in Minneapolis again?
Let me see. I'm pulling it up. Because it's like, get tickets here. Ugh, I have to click a link. And
I'm looking at it. Listen, Uncanny Experience, come to New York. That's where it is. That's where X-Men is.
I mean, that's valid. That's a really completely valid point.
I think they do it at this one place because it looks very Xavier-y.
Yeah, it's still in Minneapolis. It looks like the same place.
Yeah, honestly, if they want, like, listen, I give them credit for doing all this stuff because I always had this idea of putting together an X-Men, kind of convention slash thing. I honestly wanted to do a Hellfire Club like after party for the longest time, or a Hellfire gala after party at like one of the conventions. But like, I give them so much credit for doing this X-Men con. But like, listen, one year they've got to do it up in Canada at the actual X-Mansion, which you can rent out.
That would be really cool. That's probably a shit ton of money though. They definitely have to get bigger before they can do that, I think.
Well, I mean,
that'd be amazing. I hope they can one day.
Here's the thing. It can't possibly be too crazy expensive because people have weddings there. Like, you can get married at the X-Mansion.
Yeah, but also people pay a shit ton for weddings. And the excuse is, it's my wedding day. I can spend like 60 fucking K for like 4 hours. Like,
yes, but people don't pay admission to come to your wedding.
I mean, that's true. So. But I mean, you do have to pay for headcount for your wedding, depending on the place. So, well, I mean, that's
saying, no one's paying for that. You're the one paying for that. The people who come don't pay for that. So,
exactly. But anyway,
that's an idea for another day. I always had this dream that, like, if I ever got married, I would get married at the X-Mansion
up in, I love that.
I think it's either Ottawa or it's not, I don't think it's Toronto. I don't know. But it's actually not far from New York. I think it's, I'm 90% sure it's on the East Coast. or mid to East Coast in Canada. I'm 90% sure. So
yeah, I feel like that's right. I did find the tweet that I think a friend of mine was mentioning. Gail, somebody, JK had replied to Gail on March 15th saying, I'm excited to see what you do with Kurt. He's been a longtime favorite of mine, so I'm looking forward to see where you take him. And Gail Simone replied, my favorite X-Men rotate quite a bit, but overall, if I had to pick one that I have loved over the years, it's the Fuzzy Elf. It's not just that he's awesome, but it feels like the spirit of Dave Cockrum is right in Kurt's DNA, and that makes him an emotional favorite. And somebody, Raphael Busson, replied to that. Love these words. Almost nobody mentions Cockrum today, and it's a shame. Kurt was his creation, his favorite character. Thanks for that. And Gail Simone said, I'm a diehard Dave Cockrum fan and always will be. So, yeah, Gail, call us or give us your number. We'll call you. We know you've got a lot. You're very, very busy. But, like, we're here for you, girl, because you're so right. You are speaking the truth.
Can I just tell you, I actually felt myself getting a little bit emotional when she started talking about Dave because, like, again, I knew him not well, but I knew him through, like, our Nightcrawler message board that he was very active on, and like he would have like he would share stuff with all of us in the moderator team and everything, and he was like a really great guy, and I knew his wife as well, Patty, and she was she's a little crazy, but she's great. But
she's hilarious. But yeah. I love that woman. I've met her twice at least.
She's a nut. But she's wonderful. She's a wonderful person. But yeah, like that to me, like to hear her say something like that, she's 100% correct. When Kurt is written well, he is written very much with like he's written very much in the vein that Dave always intended, which was this swashbuckling thing. And this is the unfortunate thing. This is the thing with like intellectual property is when you release it to some, when you release it to other people, you know, or when you create something for a company, it doesn't matter what your intention is with that, because eventually it's going to diverge from that. And I think for Dave, like for him, Nightcrawler was always his. Like he always considered Nightcrawler his self-insert. That was him, his character. It was a character that he had created like years and years, like decades before he even brought it to Marvel, because he had created it back when he was serving in the military, just drawing silly things on napkins and coming up with things to pass the time and everything. So, you know, that character Nightcrawler was always such an important character to him, and such a, of all the characters he created, Nightcrawler was the one. I mean, that's why he created, drew so much porn of Nightcrawler fucking everybody. So, you know. But, and like, let me tell you, there's a lot more of that exists out there. A lot more. And I wish I still had access to it. I'm really happy to hear this. She's definitely everything I want to, like, I've always loved everything she's written. I liked what she did for Marvel. I'm not a big DC person, but like when I've dabbled in DC and I read what she did, I always loved her stuff. It's always got like that. It's got that really great kind of, you know, she can do serious, but she can also do comedic. And I think that's one of the things that's missing a lot in comics is like, come on guys, a little levity here. Like I understand that we're dealing with like hard hitting issues, but we're dealing with hard hitting issues in our life every single day. And we turn to media for like a respite from that. And when the media starts to really echo real life, it becomes harder and harder to deal with everything. So give us some levity, give us some fun, give us some silliness. Gail, give us a game of Mutant Ball. Oh my God. When was the last time they played Mutant Ball, guys?
I don't know, but I agree with you. Doesn't remind me of because Gail did it first, but Gail Simone and Kelly Thompson are two of my favorite writers, and they write differently, but kind of in the similar vein of kind of like you're saying, like, you know, they can write serious incredibly well, but they also are great at putting levity in there as it makes sense for the story. You know, they don't just throw comedy in there for no reason, right? It has to work with the story they're telling. But they're also very character focused when they write. Obviously, they clearly create these, you know, important plots or stories or what have you. But really at the end of the day, I feel like when both of them write, you know, stories, comics, what have you, if they can't write the characters well, or they don't know what to do with the characters, they won't write it. Because I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, but from when I read their stuff, I'm like, the characters come first, right? The story is like either tied with it or like a super duper close second because they want to tell a good story, but the characters have to come first. And that's what I really appreciate about her, is that she really seems to understand that, you know, as long as you can get the core of the characters, you can tell whatever fucking story you want, as long as it makes sense for who the characters are. And she really gets that. And that's so necessary for Kurt. And I feel like that's what a lot of people don't get with Kurt, is they think because you can write him in 2 million different ways, that you can just write literally any story you want with him. And technically you can, right? You have every right to write whatever story you want. But in terms of like publishing a good story that works for his character, you can't do that. And she gets that. And I really appreciate that. And you know, so I think I'm just super excited again. Like I've said this for months, maybe even longer than that, maybe since this podcast started, but Kurt and a lot of these are characters too. A lot of these are X-Men Rogue and Gambit and Logan, things like that. They just need good character stories in the overall plot happening. They need their characters back. And we had Kurt's development back for one issue in Immortal X-Men 8. And I know she, I believe she's tweeted before how much she loves Kieran Gillen's work too and everything. So I think there's an understanding there. So I'm hype. Yeah. Thanks, Gail. Appreciate you. Thank you for allowing our manifestation to come true. Maybe one day we'll be big enough to have you on. I don't know. Call us, please.
I'm already tweeting at her. So I just asked her, I just tweeted at her to ask her who she ships Kurt with, and I'm hoping she answers. So yeah, Gail, come on, because we desperately really want to talk to you. We're both enormous fans of your work outside of X-Men, obviously. And you know, now that you're writing our boy, you need to come, on and talk to us.
It's the Nightcrawler podcast. What other Nightcrawler podcast is there?
Exactly. There's none, zero. Zero. So, girl, you like your fuzzy elf? Come talk to us. We'll talk to you too.
Talk to us.
Yeah. It's just so exciting. It's gonna be. It feels like, and you know, I she's gonna write the family drama because she loves inject drama. So
and
the
drama. She's so right. She said, "Give me the gays and the family drama. I'm ready." And I said, "Thank you, Marvel. Whoever the fuck actually listened to her." Thank you, because you're already better than DC, because she wants to write a Supergirl story that she says is amazing, which I believe her, and DC has not bought into it as of right now. So guess what? Marvel's winning that battle for me. Anyways, I'm bitter and happy as shit, because Kurt's winning. As long as I get one win, we're good.
We'll talk about that on Super Amazing. I'm super excited. She's going to kill it. I'm like, please, Gail, do it. And I really hope that she does a little bit of talking about, like, okay, I really hope that we get that Kurt and Destiny have their moment together. But yes. I would love for, like, Rogue to also have a moment, because, like, her family dynamic has just changed in a way.
We just need them all in one room together. That's literally what we've been missing. We cannot get all four of them as a Mystique and Destiny and Rogue and Kurt at minimum in the same fucking room to just speak to each other. Yell, scream, talk, whatever. Like, we can't even get that. So I think that we are very likely to get that with her, and that'd be really fun, because I think she sees the potential of playing with that dynamic, like you said. I think she would have so much fun writing it. And also the fact that you're like, hey, I'm going to tweet her to see who she ships with him. What if Gail Simone's the one to actually finally solidify a solid love life and a solid relationship for Kurt? Whoever the fuck it's with, as long as it's not with Amanda Sefton, because that's been played with for decades. No offense to Amanda Sands, but that's been played with decades. We have to move on from it. What if he can actually get a solid, consistent love interest because of Gail Simone? Please, Gail, please.
I mean, here's the thing. He's never going to have a gene. Like, it's just, that's not, which sucks, but it's just not going to happen that way. Gene,
because Jean's also on and off with all the people she's with, the two or three men. She doesn't, he doesn't need a gene. He needs like a Rogan Gambit type situation. Obviously, like, not in a family, that's disgusting, but like Rogan Gambit have been solid for a long time, right? He needs somebody that's solid, that even when they bicker or argue or they do have significant issues, that, again, that's just what it is a significant issue. And they eventually can, like, he doesn't need the, like, drama and the breakups left or right just to have it anymore. He has done that. Give him a fucking relationship.
I think he needs someone who understands where he comes from. He needs someone who, you know, maybe was adopted,
Don't start, Lisa. Also, the second also, you said somebody also understands Rain, them, and you made that face. Rain, I'm like, we know you want Wanda, but listen, Rain, it has Romani to work.
Subscribe. Also no. has parents who are villains.
No, it has to work. It has to work. And if Gail can make it work, I'm in. If Gail Girl, can make it work, but I it feel has like, to work.
I feel like the even the worst writer in the world can make Kurt and Wanda work. I mean, listen, like what I just rolled off about what they have in common is like the tip of the iceberg. But they're both they both have a lot of mystical shit in their background and in their families.
The biggest Magic. Problem isn't going to be Gale. The biggest problem will be editorial, because editorial is still keeping Scarlet Witch with the Avengers. Editorial is not letting that shit go. So if okay. Marvel editorial can let it go, then it might happen. But you're going to have to fight Marvel editorial.
Okay, and so listen. Okay, people commute for their jobs. She can still be an Avenger. It's like
Marvel
a, okay.
editorial.
From Westchester County, like we're talking... If she got a Quinjet, we're talking 15-minute commute. Quinjet, 15 minutes.
So she's going to be Taylor Swift just flying everywhere in a fucking jet. That's yes. so great for the yes. environment. Great.
Yes. She's going to be flying everywhere for her man. Yes.
Fucking stupid. At that point, Kurt's just going to teleport and get her. What the hell?
Well, he can't teleport. Well, that's quite a long teleport. He can only teleport up to 3 miles, I think. I think is his official... I don't know. That number actually is quite an old number, so it may have been adjusted over the years. But last time I remember them saying his limit was like 3 miles. And then they introduced Azazel, and Azazel can teleport through dimensions. And it's like, this is stupid. It's always been like they've always had this thing I've always felt like where the children tend to be a little bit more powerful than the parent if the parents are mutants too. That's where, or the child kind of gets more powers or just, you know. But it was weird to me that like they introduced his father and then we find out that he's not his father anyway. So who fucking cares? So there you go.
No one cares. Mm-hmm. Woo! But everybody cares. That's all that matters.
Since it's our 100th episode, I did put out a little Twitter thing like last week about Nightcrawler moments of all time. And the intention was we were going to record it last week and then I got sick. So now I am better and we want to talk about these Nightcrawler moments of all time. And this is literally in any media, comics, movies, cartoons. If you're listening and you want to share it with us, please, like, this is still open. You can still come share your favorite Nightcrawler moments. But I'm going to start with, do you have a favorite Nightcrawler moment of all time? Actually, Lauren, I feel like I could pin down a panel that would be in your top 10.
Okay, what would that be?
It's the panel from the Kitties, it's the panel where Lockheed is pulling his tail from Kitty's
thing. Yeah, I think that one. That one's hilarious.
Yes, and I knew you loved that one. I knew it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Of course. So what's your favorite Nightcrawler story? I think it's that story, right? What's your favorite Nightcrawler story?
Kitty's fairy tale is still probably my favorite. Not necessarily because of like all this the story is so abundant and all this character development or anything like that, but just because like I've literally read it the most. I read it all the time as a kid. And honestly, a lot of the elements do line up with who Kurt is, though, kind of like you're talking about earlier with like the way, you know, if you write Kurt the way Cockrum intended, and what's, you know, kind of the soul of his character, it's the swashbucklingness, it's the flirty romance, but also slightly shy, but also very charming and charismatic in his own little way. Dorky almost. I think that's a word that people don't use to describe Kurt a lot that actually really matches him. He's pretty fucking dorky. And it's yes. adorable and very endearing. And Kay's Fairy Tale has all of that. And I'm a sucker for the little BAMFs in that issue. I don't necessarily like how the BAMFs have been kind of used like lately, like the whatever weird version of the BAMF they did in like one of the more recent Spurrier books. That was kind of weird. But I love the BAMFs back then. They were just little cute, stupid menaces. And it was just a lot of fun. So that's probably the story closest to my heart in that way. But I also like the one where I don't like how the story even happened, but I do like the story where Weapon X something. And it's the one after Kurt dies, you know, mm-hmm. even though we should never mention that, that's what happens. And Wolverine goes through the whole issue trying to do what Kurt asked him to do after he died. He like wrote a letter, I think, for Logan, and Logan has to pull this giant ass piano or something up this mountain. And Logan's like, why the fuck am I doing this half the time?
Yes.
It's very endearing as well. Very sad, but endearing in its own way. And I really love Kurt and Logan's friendship. I totally see people that ship Logert. But again, I don't necessarily ship Kurt with like really anybody at the moment, because I'm just like, I literally just want to be sold. I want to be sold on Kurt's love. I want him to be happy. I want it to be well done. At this point, as long as it's well done and it works well and Kurt's happy, I really don't give a shit. But yeah, those are probably two of my favorite ones off the top of my head. And then of course the panel that Lisa was the one that chose the name for our podcast here, the Simply Amazing, the panel she got it from, where it's just like, you're Simply Amazing or whatever. I actually had not read that issue before Lisa showed it to me when we were talking about what to name this podcast. And that panel is really special. And then, sorry, I'm totally rambling, but this last one, I do have a panel here.
Well, like what's your favorite? And you've rambled off like 17. It's okay.
Yeah, keep going. Pick one favorite. It doesn't work. I know. Okay, this is the part we're talking about. How can any of us just pick one? If you can, great, but I'm also bi, so I have to pick at least two, but I could also pick 20 million.
That's fair.
So.
And to be fair, we've had at least 100 moments because we've spoken about them at this point. So
exactly. But the last one I'll say is I have this printed out and it's right here. I'm looking at it now. But it's the one from, I think it's Immortal X-Men 8 that Gillen wrote, and says, sometimes good people have to get angry. Sometimes good people forget that. And I think that's one of the like bigger, like, hero moments for me, and that's also one of the moments recently that he's been able to define his moral compass, and I really like that he's been able to define his moral compass without it being embossed in his Catholic values or the church or religion necessarily, even though again I think it's great that he has his religion that is part of his character. I haven't liked how the last few years they've kind of made him really zealous and everything's about religion and blah blah blah. I don't believe he practices his religion that way. I don't agree with it. So to be able to see him establish his moral compass just in good moral values as well, that made me really happy to see. So those are some of my favorite Kurt moments. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk, everyone. You can leave your reviews nowhere.
There you go. Exactly. Well, I'll set up a Yelp page just for Lauren. So
Absolutely not.
So I totally agree with you on those things. And, you know, as far as his religion, I always felt like Kurt, I always appreciated Kurt's religious side in the context of like, he's the guy who he goes to church every Sunday. He has a church he goes to, he has a pastor, he goes to church every Sunday when he can, he'll miss it every once in a while, but like, he's not zealous. I mean, he's not going to try and convert you. He's not going to try and tell you what, you know, he's just, it's for him. It's an innately personal thing. And I feel like when he became a priest, it was just too much. It's like, it's like taking a character and taking it to the nth degree. It's like, why, you know, it didn't really, it didn't serve him very much. And I know there are a lot of people out there who like the issue is, you know, it became so ingrained because X2 came out, he was going through the heat of that priest shit. So like everybody who went and saw X2 and saw that he was like praying in the movie, you know, of course it was a little heavy-handed in the movie, but it wasn't like overly heavy-handed. But then they go to the books and it's like, oh, he's a priest. And then it becomes this whole thing. So it just became so much more than it should have, but whatever. We're past that now and he's back to his swashbuckling ways. But I'm going to share a couple of my favorite moments, and I'm going to echo of course the issue that James Tynion wrote that we named the whole podcast after. And I do want to mention that that quote from Nightcrawler, I want to just give some context, because when we started this podcast, I think in 2021, of course, a year into COVID, and COVID was hard for all of us. I mean, I don't think there's a single person on this earth who was not affected by COVID, right? This was something that, you know, we all were going through a lot, and it was a very uncertain time. A lot of people lost jobs, lost family members, lost lives, obviously. And I was, you know, of course, just like everyone else, I'm going through my own stuff. And the one thing I kept repeating to myself that would help me get through it was this quote from this comic book.
I don't know what it was, but it was like, it just hit me at the right time. And it was just like, I don't know why, it would just come into my mind. Anytime I was doubting myself, anytime I was feeling depressed, anytime I was worried, it was just like, you know, there was no one else like you. You are simply, quite simply amazing. And that is, you know, I used to know the whole quote like verbatim, but I haven't said it in a while. So, yeah, so it really affected me. And so when we were coming up with the name for the podcast, it felt like it was, I mean, we wanted it to be obviously a really positive, fun podcast. So that seemed like the best name. So I'm glad Lauren agreed. So yeah, now we're seeing the amazing.
So now tell us your favorite panel or moment, Lisa, because you seem to have one in mind. I feel like you're like, ha, many, I have the one. Get out of my way.
No, here's the thing. I've got thousands. I mean, it's hard to wind them down. Like, I love the moment where he brings Wanda to the school to help Pixie learn how to, you know, use her magic, even though like everyone hates Wanda because she's the great pretender at the time. But that's, of course, a very personal thing for me. I'm not going to go into too much. I'm going to bring up a very specific story that is one of my favorite stories of Nightcrawler's, which is a classic X-Men story from, I'm looking up the year, 1987. It's called The Gift. It's written by Chris Claremont, and John Bolton is a penciler. And it's a very... It's not the kind of story you would expect. It's basically, it's like a story about him, out, and he's kind of trying to understand his own, who he is and what, and he ends up meeting this little boy and teaching him to juggle, and the boy isn't afraid of him and they become friendly. And then it turns out the boy died and it's a ghost boy, whatever, spoiler alert, but it's a really beautiful story and it's very cute, and it humanizes him a lot, you know. And he's not a character that at that time needed it. Well, I don't know, in the 80s, I got to be honest. I mean, I wasn't reading comics in the 80s because I wasn't reading because I was a child, or I was reading, but not that. But yeah, I don't know how, like, but it humanizes him in such an amazing way. And it shows that kind of heart he has and that, like, the beauty behind him. So I really love that story. That's one of my favorites. So I won't go into too much detail. I mean, like, I also love, I mean, one of my other favorite moments is, like, you know, he finds out that he has a daughter and his first thing he thinks is like, I should have been more careful. And then he's like, immediately opens the window so not Juggernaut can throw her out the window. So that's another fun moment, but that's Chuck Austin. So what can you do? You know, and as far as like AU Nightcrawler, I mean, if you follow our Twitter, you know that I love the moment where Darkholm teleports the shark inside of Blob. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so ridiculous and impractical, and it's so dumb, but it's just such a great moment. It's so good. And when he comes out and he's like, Linda sends her regards, he's like, oh yes, I love it. Like, yeah. So I would say those are my favorite moments, but let's take a look at some of your favorite moments. We have a couple of these. So let me take a look. I had them all lined up and then I lost them. What's wrong with me?
You're doing amazing. It's okay.
Yeah. Oh, I got to just view it. Okay. See, I feel like such a boomer sometimes with this stuff. Oh, okay. So Irving Adler Apologist, AKA at Dazzler AOA. I mean, he shared with us the iconic moment where Amanda Sefton comes home and he and Kurt is laid out, you know, with a BAMF in front of his crotch holding a glass of wine, you know, saying, would you prefer the real thing? And she goes, yum, with the gifts. I mean, that's iconic, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I heard a rumor. I mean, who did I hear this from? I heard that initially Kurt was supposed to be naked in this panel and that's why the BAMF is placed there like that. But I think editorial went back and was like, no, yeah, put some clothes on him, please.
Maybe.
Could you imagine if he was, oh my God. Okay. And Proxy 616 picked the gift as well, which I love. Oh my God. me and you, Proxy, we are on the same page. Yeah. I'm so sorry with the pronouns. Apologies to everybody if I misgendering you. I don't know everybody's pronouns. I'm going to just go, I'll just go with they from there on out and make it easier because I'm not sure. Well, John Klein, we know. John Klein picked the, Nightcrawler coming back, you know, when he came back from the dead, which was a great story. That was a really fun swashbuckling story when he came back from the dead. Mm-hmm. That was a good one. So yeah, you guys had some good, like, I mean, the reason I chose that gif from the movie was because I think it's, I don't think it's, I'm pretty sure that it is decided by everybody. It's pretty much unanimous that that is the best moment in superhero movies, period, is Nightcrawler in the White House in X2, which that's kind of amazing that our guy has that. I mean, I wish they did more with him, but it was a great scene.
Yes. Yeah, I like seeing, I definitely like seeing people post some of their top favorite Kurt moments. I think doing stuff like this more often be fun. I did want to mention morbidly Maven got the panel that said, "I'm not your daddy. Why are you calling me daddy?" And it's so extra funny because Kurt, like, he looks so much younger in the panel. It's like a really old panel, and it's just so cute because he looks genuinely just confused. Like, what is that supposed to do? Like, why would you say such a thing? I literally don't get it. I'm just like, oh, you big dork. You don't get it.
Oh my God. I love it. Maven also commented, they retweeted it, the moment from the Wolverine and the X-Men cartoon where he gently persuades a ship captain to take better care of his mutant passengers. This is where he, like, basically, you know, threatens to throw the guy off the ship unless, you know, he takes care of his passengers. Because, you know, there was that whole moment where there's all these mutants going to Genosha and they're, like, being, like, smuggled by, like, these, you know, not nice guys who are doing the wrong thing, and then Nightcrawler shows up to, you know, make sure that they are taken care of. And Sammy the Squid Boy is there. I forgot Sammy the Squid Boy was in Wolverine and the X-Men for like 5 seconds. I can't believe it is 2024 and Sammy the Squid Boy is relevant again. This is wild. This is wild. Where's Nocturne? Okay, I'm going. I'm stopped. All right. There's two more moments we're going to talk about that were brought up.
I think Gail needs to bring back Nocturne. Sorry.
Gail, you're on notice.
Lisa, don't bully her. Come on now. We got to get her on here. You can't bully her.
No, of course. I'm not going to. So he chose Craig chose the moment, not when there's whiskey to be drunk and pirates to be stabbed, the moment where Nightcrawler and Wolverine see each other for the first time after Nightcrawler, oh my God, comes back to life. And I mean, okay, now that we've brought this up, now we're talking about the Nightcrawler Wolverine stuff. I mean, I got to bring up the moment in House of X, Powers of X, where they teleport into the sun and Nightcrawler says that whole thing about, you know, on the other side, look for me, I'll be waiting with open arms. And I don't know what he says, but yeah. I mean, they've got such a great relationship. And oh, that's another thing I love about Gail's writing Logan too.
Correct.
So Gail's writing Logan and Nightcrawler. And somehow, Gail's writing Nightcrawler and Logan. So it's going
to be... She's writing the dream book for somebody that wants to write Kurt, because she gets to write Kurt and his best friend, or, you know, otherwise lover, depending on who you are. She gets to write the book where Kurt is also with his brother-in-law, his adopted sister, and also potentially his parents are both in it. It's literally the Kurt dream book right now.
Absolutely. Just take the purse. Sorry.
It sounded like you were just like trying to like get a robber to leave you alone. Just take the purse. Just go. I don't need it. Just go.
No, my mother needed to borrow my fob to move my car. That's all. It's okay.
Amazing.
I was
amazing.
Trying to guide her without.
It's okay. Now we know your mom is robbing you. That's all that matters. There you
go. Exactly. Please, guys, call 911. Please. So that's good. Yeah, I really look forward to that. And then the last moment is from the issue that we named our podcast for. And this was Incredibly Dense Cupcake, aka One by Nerd. Let's talk about top Nightcrawler moments. And he says, mine is when Kurt kills an embodiment of hate that looks like him and is viewing vile bile at North Star. And Kurt says, F that. And that is a great moment. I mean, that whole issue is phenomenal. For a man to pick up a Marvel book, like, this is the only book that, like, again, I haven't checked in the past couple of years, but as of like 2 years ago when I last checked, this was the only book that James Tynion wrote for Marvel. And like the grasp he has on the characters is beautiful. I mean, all of them, Nightcrawler and Northstar, both. Like, he's got such an amazing, amazing grasp on them. But then also to handle the intersectionality and to handle all that is just, if there's one book you're going to read from the modern era with Nightcrawler, Amazing X-Men number 13, it's beautiful. It's a great story.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to finish up here, and I want to ask Lauren a question. Since it's our 100th episode, We've done 100 whole episodes now. Do you remember the first time you saw Kurt? What was the first thing you ever saw with Nightcrawler on it?
I don't know if I remember the exact first moment. The earliest thing I can remember is probably like the X-Men Legends video games, honestly, in terms of like playing him and being able to teleport and kind of hear his voice a bit. I could have watched X-Men the animated series first. I don't really remember, but the thing that I feel like was the earliest was those games, because I remember at least when I played those games, I didn't know him super well yet. But I was kind of just like, he's really fun to play as and things like that. I think the first thing to really sell me on his character was either reading the Kitty's fairy tale story, or watching X-Men Evolution. I think those were the two that originally first sold me on his character and made me want to be like, huh, I really like this guy. Like, what the fuck? What am I supposed to do with this? And of course, you know, I was totally thinking what the fuck at like 6 years old, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, so of course. Those are probably my earliest things. Because that's the thing too, when I was younger, they didn't have like a shit ton of merch for Kurt. They had like some like old Marvel Legends figure, which I do have. And it, even if you try to buy it loose now, it's like $90, which is stupid. Thank God I have it now. Because again, his stuff, the few products he did have, like in the 90s and stuff, they sold well, a lot of them, especially the really good stuff, like the Marvel Legends line. But like, you had to fucking find them. It's kind of like today, like depending on what it is, you got to get it when it first comes out or you're fucked and you got to pay like triple for it. So
did I tell you I found a Nightcrawler? I think I mentioned it. This was like last year or last summer. I found a Nightcrawler, like a 1980s, I think, Nightcrawler action figure in a garage sale.
Hell yeah.
I had to buy it. I mean, obviously, exactly. I had to buy it. I love that. That's great. I mean, everybody's got their own journey towards, you know, how you first fell in love with this character. For me, the first time I ever saw Nightcrawler, I'm going to send this to you in Discord so you can see it, and we'll post it too if I remember, because I'm terrible at remembering this stuff, was this specific Nightcrawler card. It was a Marvel card of Nightcrawler with his cutlass, like on a brick wall, like looking all fierce. And I don't know what it was, but I was like, what's the deal with this guy? I don't know what this guy's deal is. And then when I like learned about him, I kind of was really fascinated with the idea of mutants. And then the cartoon came out around the same time. So I was watching the cartoon, but I was never into Nightcrawler in the cartoon because Nightcrawler wasn't kind of that interesting in the cartoon. Like, he didn't show up much. He showed up like two or three episodes, and you know, he was like a monk, and he was just not that interesting. He was just a weird blue guy. He didn't look as cool in the cartoon as he did on that card. I will say X-Men Evolution is what like really did probably drive me over the edge. I was already a fan of him by then, but like that was what kind of solidified me, like, for, you know, oh no, this is my guy for sure. You know, I mean, I love Nightcrawler, but I don't know, actually, you know, I love Nightcrawler even before that, because I remember when X2 came out, I bought tickets for all my friends to go see X2 together because of Nightcrawler. I was so excited. So it's weird. It's hard to remember everything, but we'd love to hear from you guys too. Tell us first time you like, how'd you fall in love with Nightcrawler? What was your first time? Because we'd love to hear it, you know?
The hashtag first time with Kurt. I love that.
Oh my God. Yes. Hashtag first time with Kurt. Hashtag Nightcrawler goes down. There you go. I love it.
I love it. I love it.
That's it. Exactly. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us for 100 plus episodes. Those of you who have made it through all 100, thank you. Oh my God. Like, good on you for listening to us. I can't even listen to myself that much. So, you know, I give you so much credit, but it's been wonderful and we're so happy to have you. And we hope to go for 100 more. Obviously, we're doing our best, you know, with life and everything, but you know, we'll as weekly as we can, we're going to get these out for you. But now that Gail is writing Kurt, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be pretty damn weekly once we get to once those issues start coming out, because we're going to talk about that a lot.
The longer Gail writes Kurt, the quicker we'll get to 1,000 episodes. I can promise you that.
I mean, we'll get to 1,000 by 2025. Done. Like, yeah, exactly. We'll be at like, by the time the first issue comes out, we'll be at like 117. And then by, you know, December 31st, 1,017. Well, guys, thanks again so much for coming and joining us, not just today, but for the past 100 so odd episodes that you've joined us for. If you like us, find us on all the things. We're on Twitter. We're on Blue Sky. We're really mostly active on Twitter. I'm going to be honest. I can tell you all the other things we're on. Right now, while Twitter is not a burning hellscape, you know, while we're kind of teetering on the edge of escape from New York on Twitter, we will be there. But for now, you know, unless there's something better, if anyone knows where everybody is, where the next big thing is, let us know because we'll come. But Twitter seems to be where it's at. But we're also on Facebook, kind of. We're on Instagram, kind of. We're on Blue Sky. But come find us. Come talk to us. Let us know why you like Kurt. Tell us about your favorite moments and also tell us about the first moment you ever saw him. And Lauren, where can they find you?
Yeah, I'm pretty much everywhere at Friendly MBHDBI. I also mostly still use Twitter and Instagram. I have Blue Sky, but again, like, I like to go where I see the people I want to see, and a lot of them are still on Twitter. So, Listen, we're all just going to admit we go where our people are, right? Even if something sucks, if that's where our friends are, it's where we go. But yeah, so find me on there. I'm also on Discord at Friendly MBHDBI. If you want to be friends, or if you want to join the Nightcrawler Discord, there's a Nightcrawler Discord. We do not run it. A mutual runs it, but we are there. So if you'd like to join that, let us know. We'll get you an invite to that. I'm still doing the YouTube channel where we talk more indie comics, but we talk about plenty of other comics too. And I try to bring up Kurt as much as possible and Supergirl, just so I know that Lisa's seething somewhere.
She's got to make sure I'm paying attention. Fun. That's what it is. That's all.
Exactly. It's very fun. If once a week I'm not getting yelled at by Lisa for mentioning Supergirl, then what are we doing here? So
that's it. Although yeah, I will say I am a fan of Power Girl, who is a type of Supergirl.
It's the boobs, isn't it? It's the fucking boobs.
No, it's, I'm 90%. Didn't Gail Simone write Power Girl, or is,
wait. I'm not sure, because I'm behind on Power Girl. A lot of people, because here's the thing, people assume, because if you're a Supergirl fan, that you also love Power Girl. And people also assume that if you love Power Girl, then you love Supergirl. And I'm like, even though they're like technically different versions of a character on a different Earth, they're still not the same character. So no, that's not how that works.
All right, I'm not 100% sure if Gail wrote Power Girl, but the issues I read were the Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor issues, which I really liked, so...
Oh, that's, yeah, they were a killer team, especially like when they were writing Harley Quinn back in the day, and they were the ones that originated Harl Ivy. By the way, anybody that doesn't know that, the only reason they like really became a thing in the show and then got as big as they are, which is wonderful, is because of Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor, who also wrote them as a polyamorous couple back then too. But then DC was like, ah, they're just friends. And we were all like, what the fuck, for like 5 years. It was a wild time for like Harl Ivy fans. Wild time.
I'm just looking it all up. So Gail did write some of, like, did write Power Girl in her Wonder Woman run, which I read her Wonder Woman run back when she was doing that. That was awesome. That was really good. So yeah, Gail, we love you. We really want you to come on, and you know, we'd love to see you. But yeah.
You know what? But come find us. I just had an idea. I'm so sorry. I have to say it, though, because now you put it in my brain. I was kind of thinking it earlier, but it didn't sit, and now it's sitting in my head. But what if, like, the reason Kurt can't find, like, his, like, this one perfect person for him in the Marvel Universe is obviously because of a lot of things, right? Like, editorial and crap like that. But also because he should have the first, inter-brand relationship. Like, his partner is in the DC Universe. A DC woman is the one he's supposed to be with. Maybe a man. I don't know. A DC character is the one he's supposed to be with. And that's why everybody keeps dragging him around and nothing's working.
Okay, here's the thing. I want to argue with you. But, like, Kurt loves a strong woman who can break his back. And damn it if DC doesn't have a line above him.
I mean, you're, like... I mean, it's a point. Like, I am not against him and Wanda. I'm not against him and Logan. I'm not against a lot of these ships he's with, but it kind of makes sense. It almost makes sense. It's so ridiculous. It could work.
He could be Wonder Woman's house husband. He could be Wonder Woman's Kyle. Like, honestly, if Kurt marries Wonder Woman, he does not have to be a superhero anymore. He can be Kyle.
Listen, to be fair, I don't think it would be Wonder Woman, but I'm totally fine with that because that sounds hot and I am bi, so don't listen. But
actually, you know what?
I think it'd be more like someone like Power Girl or something that he'd be with, you know? Yeah. Like, or Wonder Supergirl. Woman. I mean, I would be totally fine with that. No bias at all.
Oh, I see where we're going with this. I see. You just want to have ship happen. You're jealous that my ship actually is possible. And that's why you're trying to make it happen.
I shouldn't have said it because that's not where I was actually going. But in general, like a lot of DC women, I think could match up very, very well with Kurt. And it's kind of fucking wild.
I agree. I am going to rescind the Wonder Woman thing because I think I literally think that this is the one instance where religion would be a problem. Mm-hmm. Because the biggest tenet of Catholicism and Christianity period is there is one God. And of course, Wonder Woman is of the Greek gods where there are many gods. And I'm sure for him, that's going to be like, okay, I don't know that I can reconcile.
I don't think Kurt would give a shit. At least how I write him. Cause again, like if he can be BFFs with Logan, who says, fuck everyone, fuck everything, fuck your God, fuck all your gods, whoever you are. Fuck.
But there's a difference between that and now you're in a relationship with somebody. You're like, okay, I have my one God. And your spouse is like, yeah, but like there's actually more than one God and your God is not my God. Like, cause the problem, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, listen, this is all super hypothetical and silly.
I get where you're going.
Yeah. And I'm worried that we're going to be wading into territory that's going to get us canceled at this point. So we'll just back it up.
back up to Kurt being with hot women and possibly the first comic brand relationship ever. Guys.
Love it. I'm in.
Kurt and whoever his partner in DC could be, they're going to bring Marvel and DC back together to playing nice and give us back like Marvel and DC like stories together. And then, it could happen, guys. I know it's batshit crazy, but it could.
I got it. Selena Kyle.
No, I don't like that at all. But that's fine. You can have that. I mean, listen, it could work. If it's written well, it could work. I don't care. No, the reason it won't work is because the bat stands will lose their fucking shit. The bat cat stands are menaces. Okay? Because
you don't want better for your girl than the guy that can't even decide she wants to be with her?
Listen, I'm with you, but the Batcat stands that love them as a couple, like they have literally fought for them to be a thing for so long. Like, I don't think fans would allow it. But listen, maybe. I don't know. But I think he needs to be with a like extra powerful woman. Like, not necessarily is not powerful, but I want him with a powerhouse. Like, I want somebody that's like Storm, but in DC. Okay? Which is why I think of like Power Girl and things like that and Supergirl and, you know, maybe even Huntress. Stupid. I don't know. Maybe Huntress. Why not? I don't know.
Well,
maybe he screws around with Black Canary and Ollie. I would see that threesome. I would read that comic. It would be very weird, but I would read it.
Well, listen, if you're out there and you have a DC character you want to ship our boy with, let us know. You know, we'll argue with you or we'll agree with you. Who knows? You know,
please. Maybe I made this episode go off the rails at the last second and my brain is spinning now and I'm having a great time.
Here's the thing. There's no reason not to share it with us because Elon Musk is going to make it impossible to ban people, right? You can't block people anymore on Twitter. So like, we can't block you. So share away. Let us know.
Are you for real? I hate that fucker. I hate whatever. So much. Anyways, we're simply amazing. Positive energy. Guys, there's so much potential. There's so many good things happening amongst all this terrible shit. So
let's exactly. Think about that. There are so many good things. And, you know, we're going to talk about them as much as we can. So thank you guys again for joining us. Like I said, you know, find us on Twitter. Find us on everything. Wherever we are. SimplyAmazingPod.com. We update that periodically. I'm going to try and update that more. But, you know, life. But yeah. Yeah, come find us. Let us know everything. We want to hear it. We want to hear how excited you guys are about Gail Simone writing our boy. We want to hear about, you know, your favorite moments with Kurt and also your first moments with Kurt. And if you're out there listening right now, big boobies, little boobies, no boobies, it doesn't matter. You're simply amazing.
Outstanding.